One of the big stories, perhaps the biggest story of the last week, has been the election of the newest pope. And as a Lutheran pastor, I'd like to reflect on that today. Stay tuned. Hello, friends. Pastor Tim Westermeyer here, senior pastor of St. Philip the Deacon in the western suburbs of Minneapolis. Good to be with you as always. I'm going to apologize in advance for my voice. I feel just fine. I think I have some allergies because of the spring, so I've got a little bit of a raspy voice this morning, but again, I feel fine, so I hope you can put up with it. I was away last week at a pastor's conference, had a great time, and last week's episode we posted was the prior week's Faith and Life event with David Brooks. If you haven't yet had a chance to listen to that, it was just an outstanding conclusion to this year's Faith and Life series. So I will commend that to you. We'll provide another link to that as well. While I was away, the new Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, was elected. And so I want to just reflect a little bit on that this morning. And I'll say a few things about his election and about the papacy and about him. And you may say, well, why would you do that, Tim? You're a Lutheran pastor. Why should we care if we're not Catholic? And I'm thinking actually about a new member class we're going to do the evening of the day we're taping this. And I've been doing those new member classes for a long time here at St. Philip the Deacon. I can count on, I wouldn't even need one hand to count the number of times we've done a new member class when there haven't been Catholics at that class. I mean, this is a large church. We have people who end up coming here from all kinds of different Christian traditions or no Christian tradition. And many of those are people who are either continue to think of themselves as Catholic and are here because of a spouse, or maybe they have decided for whatever reason that the Lutheran tradition makes more sense to them. But in the context of that kind of diversity at those new member classes, one of the points I always make, and again, remember, I'm a lifelong Lutheran. I grew up Lutheran outside of Chicago, by the way, so I have that in common with the Pope as well, although he does like the White Sox and I'm a Cubs fan, so that's okay. Anyway, I'm a lifelong Lutheran. I did do some graduate work at Notre Dame in theology, and I feel deeply convicted that in 2025, fights of the 16th century when the Reformation began are no longer the primary thing for us as Christians. We live in a culture that is suspicious and cynical about organized religion. We're polarized, we're tribal, we're segmented. And the last thing the Christian tradition writ large needs to do is to divide up our own Christianity into different groups and try to talk about how we're better than you or you're not as good as us. And so I feel like the, I'll call it a big tent approach, is really important. And we start always with the fact that we are Christians first, and that unites us. And I really think that's an important note. And so, yes, even though the Pope isn't the Pope for Lutherans, the Pope is certainly a very important sign of the unity of the church, again, writ large, I would say. And one of the ways you can test that is by noting the amount of media coverage about his election and about the death and funeral of his predecessor. I mean, from what I can tell, it was covered everywhere. And what do people in the church end up talking about? They talk about Jesus, especially since this is all happening during the season of Easter. So it strikes me as a real gift, this inflection point with the election of a new pope, a great opportunity for the Christian witness to be brought forward to the entire world, right? Okay. So again, yes, I'm a Lutheran pastor. I'm delighted to be a Lutheran pastor, but I take seriously our Christian brothers and sisters. And this is a really important moment in the life of Christianity throughout the world. And so again, let me just say a couple things, to actually three things about the pope And this is not going to be exhaustive. There is a ton of coverage out there. You can do all kind of research. But I want to say a word about his name. I want to say a word about the tradition he comes from, the Augustinian tradition. And then I want to say a word about one of the themes that he has been talking about already, which happens to be the theme of church unity, which I've already mentioned myself here. So his name, first of all, the name he took is Leo the 14th. He's taking that after, obviously, Leo the 13th. Leo the 13th lived and was the Pope at the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century. He wrote a very famous encyclical, that's the fancy word for an apostolic letter, called Rerum Novarum, which means of new things. And Leo the 13th was addressing the Industrial Revolution and the way it was dehumanizing workers. And so, again, this is more complicated than this, but it's also a fair summary. Leo the 14th took that name in part because he feels like now at the in the early part of the 21st century, there's another kind of revolution going on, particularly with artificial intelligence, which has great possibility for us as human beings, but also has the potential to dehumanize us. And he wants to, again, part of his papacy, I think, is going to be to remind us always of the dignity of who we are as human beings, as children of a God who loves us, and to remember not to let technology dehumanize us, okay? So that's his name. Second point, you may have heard that he's part of the Augustinian order. That's significant for a few reasons. It takes its name from Saint Augustine. Augustine lived in the 300, from 354 to 430. Augustine is perhaps one of the most important theologians for Christians everywhere. As someone once said, the shadow of Augustine looms large over the entire Christian tradition. And that means both the Christian tradition of the West and the East, so our Orthodox brothers and sisters, and also of the Catholic and Protestant sides of the fence. So Augustine, in his very theology, is someone who unifies us. Interestingly, also Martin Luther, before he broke with the Church of Rome, was himself an Augustinian monk. And so if you've ever wondered what an Augustinian monk looks like, well, it looked like the current pope before he became the pope. And so the Augustinians, and it's interesting if you've heard anything that the pope has said recently. In fact, I don't think I've heard him speak yet without quoting Augustine. And so Augustine, perhaps his most famous quote is, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee," which is our hearts as human beings are restless until they rest in the presence of God. And so there's this sense that our experience should be tuned to allow us to see God in all things. And again, I think that's it's interesting that there have now been two popes who have been part of a religious order. Francis was a Jesuit. That's a little atypical, honestly, for popes. But I think those monastic orders and traditions have a lot to teach us. Here in Minnesota, St. John's University is a Benedictine order. And again, the Benedictines have a great charism for, among other things, hospitality. So each of those traditions has its own distinctive note, but the Augustinian tradition is certainly an important one. Okay, final point. Again, I've already mentioned it, but it seems clear that one of the emphases of this pope's papacy is going to be the theme of unity. And again, I've mentioned that the fact that he comes from an Augustinian or the Augustinian order, I think automatically is a unifying kind of thing because all Christians can draw or do draw from St. Augustine. It's called his episcopal motto. We'll throw this up as a graphic. Every bishop in the Catholic Church has a what is it called? A shield with a motto. His motto is "In illo uno unum," which again is a quote from Augustine, which means "In the one Christ we are one. So again, there's that really important note of unity. The word bridge builder has come up a few times with this Pope. And again, the unity that he represents in his very person is also connected to the life he has lived. He is from Chicago, so he is, you've heard this, I'm sure, the first North American Pope, but he spent most of his missionary work in Peru. So he also, in a very important way, represents South America. So he represents both the Northern Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere. And he's also been the head of the Augustinian Order, not once, but twice, which means he's been connected to Augustinians all around the world. And more recently, he was appointed to a role as head of bishops in Rome. So again, in his own person, he has ministered in North America, in South America, and in Rome. And he speaks a number of languages, and again, all of that strikes me as having great possibility for being a unifying force within the church. So I'm going to leave it there. Again, you can read or watch much more about his election. I find myself repeating myself regularly here. I genuinely would be interested in knowing, for those of you listening to this who are not Catholic, what your response or reaction has been to all of the events surrounding both the death of Pope Francis and then the conclave and the election of Pope Leo XIV. Have you found it to be meaningful, interesting, or do you find yourself uninterested? And if so, why? I would love to know about that. And whatever you think, may I encourage us all, and we did this yesterday in our worship services, to keep the Pope in our prayers, and for that matter, to keep all of our brothers and sisters throughout the world of whatever faith in our prayers. It's good to be back, and thanks for spending some time with me today, and as always, be well, stay in touch, and God bless.